So our Bible reading for today will be from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And the Lord will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then he was widowed until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was in him.
Good morning. I'm going to stay here. It's cooler here. How are you feeling? A bit warm? Stand up. If you're feeling a bit uncomfortable, you can stand up and just cool down a little bit, because sometimes the back gets a bit hot and you feel it. And I see people fanning. And so, good morning. If you're new here, welcome to this morning's service. We've been following the pastor's been bringing us through Luke. We're up to chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. And if you took notes, I took some notes last week so that I was in tune with what's going on. His title was "Where is the Glory?" And he was talking, and it was the story of the shepherd and the angels. And it was really telling us that Jesus came into the world in very humble beginnings. He was born in a stable. We're not too sure. There was a few things that we were learning about last week about what wasn't there. Was a donkey, wasn't a donkey, those sort of things. We know the wise men didn't turn up then, like it says in the story, but we'll let that ride. But really, it was just getting to the basis that here Jesus came to this earth in very humble beginnings, and we know that when he returns, he will come in very glorious beginnings. And it's the ending, isn't it? The end, when he comes, it'll be a glorious thing. And so that was last week. And so this week, keeping in the theme, I put down as the message, the heading to be longing to see the glory. And longing to see the glory. And longing meaning that there's a yearning, a burning, a hunger, a strong desire to see God. To see God. And we're going to look at two people in this passage. We've already spoken about in the passage Simeon and Anna. And their longing to see, especially Simeon. Simeon is very, very much tells you that he was longing to see the Messiah, and he was given a word from God. And like all things, babies are born, and it takes a while for them to grow in the womb, 9 months. And we're looking at the Messiah coming to the temple. And recently, we had our daughter did a big reveal for us. And now millennials, like when I was born and when we had children, we used to, technology when I was born wasn't there to tell you what the sex was, but when my children were born, we were told what the sex was, but we used to wait until the day of the birth to really tell people what that was and what the name was. But today it's different. Millennials, they like to tell you what's going on and they do the big reveal. If I can get this to it. Oop, I'm going to go back. That's my daughter. So they do the big reveal. So we got this cracker given to us, delivered to us by my daughter, and said, you got to open it together. And we popped this cracker and we're having a boy. No, we're having a girl. And so we did the cracker thing and we now know that there's a girl coming and it's going to come in April next year, which is a great thing, isn't it? A great thing. It's interesting. So we've had the big reveal. I'll get this thing to work. So that's my daughter and son-in-law. And they've been trying for a while, so for us it's a very special occasion. And we're really keen to see this baby born now. You know, we know it's going to be a girl, so it's easy to plan for things. But we're really keen now to see this baby come. And so we're looking for that day. We're longing for that day that it's going to be born and we get to hold it in our hands. And I'm not really a baby person. I like them when they're a little bit older, walking and they talk. We can have a conversation then. So I've got two other grandchildren and it's really brilliant. One's seven and one's three. So, and he's a beauty because he's three and it's interesting listening to the words that come out, aren't they? They're funny words sometimes. They try to make these sentences and try to make the word fit and it sometimes doesn't come together. And my granddaughter, she learnt the word hilarious. And she calls Poppy hilarious. You're hilarious, Poppy. So that's the catch cries when I'm with her. Anyway, we'll get this working. So as we look at the scene of this passage this morning, it's about seeing a baby. And we know that in the passage here, when the time came for the purification rites required by law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, and it's written in the law that every first male has to be consecrated and offered and they must offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law, and a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, it should have been a lamb. You know, it should have been a lamb at the sacrifice, but when you're poor, you don't have that that luxury of having a lamb, so two doves were enough. And so it's very significant in Jewish culture. And even today, Jewish boys, the firstborn in Jewish culture had great significance. The firstborn is what is to be redeemed in this Jewish culture today. And they call it Pidyon Haben. And it's called the redemption of the firstborn. And in this Jewish culture today, they pay money, which signifies redemption. Interesting what they do. Signifies redemption. They don't believe that Christ is here. Or has been here, but they signify redemption. And he was, and therefore, they're redeeming him from? They're redeeming him from being a priest. So they're paying money, about five silver coins or something, to pay to the church to redeem him from being predestined to be a priest. Because the firstborn is always meant to be a priest. And they also receive a double portion of inheritance. So they're very significant, the firstborn. And it doesn't tell us in this passage that any money was paid, so we would assume that this Jewish cultural thing may not have been in, but it also may tell us something also. And we'll just, Jesus, he was going to be a priest on this earth. He's a human. He was going to be human and he was going to be a priest, wasn't he? He was working for the Lord. He's the ultimate priest. And so when the time came for purification by law, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And these laws were actually laid down by Moses. And we'll go back and have a look at where they were, if I can get that to work. Oop. There, in Leviticus 12. And it says, when the days of her purification for a son or daughter are over, she was to bring to the priest at the entrance of the temple of the meeting, and with a year-old lamb for burning offering and a young pigeon or a dove as a sin offering. He shall offer them before the Lord to make atonement for, and then she will be ceremonially clean for her flow of blood. These are the regulations for women who gives birth to a boy or a girl. But if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean. So this purification ceremony is also for the woman. She, as we know in Jewish culture, we know that blood is not considered to be clean. And so we see that in the Good Samaritan when they bypass the religious people bypass the person who was the Samaritan, the person who was injured. And because of blood, they were not allowed to touch someone who's bleeding. And so it's a very big thing that the woman must present herself for this rule. And it's normally about 40 days. And so therefore we would assume that it was 40 days after the birth of Christ that they had to present themselves to the temple. And as we've said, Mary was expected to bring a lamb, but because of their humble beginnings, she could only bring two dove, and she was to be released from her sin. Now the two doves, one was sacrificed, the other one was released. And the releasing of the second dove was always a confirmation that your sin was, you've been forgiven. You've been released. It's been released from you. And so that's what happens. So we're getting the picture again in this passage that it's very humble beginnings. Jesus came from very humble beginnings. And so we move into the next part of this passage. And we come to Simeon. He's on the scene, and it tells us there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Wow, he'd been told that he's not going to die until he sees the Messiah. That's a pretty big thing, isn't it? And this, as we see, the writer Luke introduces Simeon and he's giving him some pretty heavy, big labels. And the labels being he was righteous and he was devout. And some other verses of Scripture, some other versions of Scripture say just and devout, just or righteous. He was just and righteous towards men and devout, meaning totally committed to what he believed in. And so characters that come out from Simeon from reading was that he was well respected about his fellow men. He was given this prophetical spirit. He was able to prophesy that he was going to see the Lord Jesus. And he was given a revelation, a promise from God that he was not going to die until he saw the Messiah. And as we know from the passage, he was actually guided by the Holy Spirit. Because we know in verse 27, how would you know when to go to the temple when Jesus had arrived? How would you know? You don't live in the temple. Well, he doesn't live in the temple, but he might be there quite regularly. But if you don't know, how would you know when to go and it's the right timing? Well, it says in verse 27, he was moved by the Spirit. He went into the temple courts. And then that's when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law was required. So Simeon was so in tune with God that the Holy Spirit was actually guiding his life. Very important thing to learn. He was so in tune with, he was guiding his life. How are you going? How is God guiding you? Is he guiding you through the Holy Spirit? What are you getting from him? What's the leading? And so it wasn't coincidence. It was the leading of the Holy Spirit that led Simeon to be at the temple at the same time the Messiah came, that same time that Joseph and Mary presented Jesus at the temple. And we move into the second character when we get into our next person in the character in this passage. We get to Anna. And there was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. That's just amazing that she's 84 in this day and age. Like, they didn't seem to live that long. There was a lot of things that went, but she was still here at 84. And she never left the temple but worshipped day and night. And so there was another waiting to see. We believe, because she had a prophetical spirit, that she was also waiting for the Messiah. It doesn't tell us that, though. Simeon tells us that. But they believe she was a prophetess. Some commentators say that she was probably somebody who had an understanding in scriptures above all other women, which was probably, it's unusual in Jewish culture when the male is the dominant and they often get taught the scriptures. But Anna was obviously an exception to this rule. She was old. She had a short marriage of only 7 years. She was therefore a widow. And when we're introduced here, she's 84 and still a widow, and she never remarried. Luke makes the comment that she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Of course, if you don't eat, you die. So she must have eaten sometime. I think Luke was just trying to paint a picture that this woman was really a devout to serving the Lord. You know, commentators say that Anna was a constituent resident in, or at least an attendant, a regular attendant at the temple, maybe daily attendant. Other commentators say she never leaving the temple simply because she was constantly there at the time of important services. So she was always there. For whatever reason, she was in the temple all the time, a lot of the time. And, you know, some people in churches seem like they never leave. You know, every time you look around, there's somebody in Sunday school doing Sunday school. There's someone in the kitchen already doing the kitchen. They're already here. Often you think, do these people ever leave the church? They always seem to be doing something in the church. Maybe she's just one of those, like those people. It's no doubt that Luke wants us to understand that Anna is truly devoted to serving the Lord. And nothing, including remarrying, is a priority to devoting her life to serving the Lord. And, you know, she also has a purpose in the story. She is the second witness to the Messiah coming into the temple. She's the second witness. And often we find in Scripture, it's two witnesses, isn't it? Two witnesses required to be verified, two witnesses. So, again, we have, in this instance, two witnesses verify that Jesus was there. And the writer's letting the people, us, know there are two witnesses. So, when we look at a passage of Scripture like this, you'd probably pick it up and go, this is a great story. You know, if I was doing this as a devotion, I was reading this as my morning devotion, and I've looked at it a few times over the couple of weeks, you would go, now, what can I get out of this? What has it got for me? What's it telling me in this passage? And, you know, of course it's telling a story about Jesus. It's a special story. It's talking about his humble beginning. It's talking about the Mary having to go to this purification and all that sort of stuff. And that's the culture. We're learning about the culture. But it's also telling us also that there were people who have been waiting to see Christ. But what have they been doing while they were waiting? You know, they've been waiting, doing life, knowing they're going to see Christ. Simeon especially knew he was going to see Christ. He just kept going. He kept doing his thing. But, you know, we also know in the story that when these people came up and saw Joseph and Mary, they had some amazing words to speak to Joseph, you know, who probably was, you know, he's the participant here, but he's sort of the reluctant because he's had to accept that Mary had this birth. He wasn't part of that, part of the concept. It was spiritual, and he's had to follow this whole thing. But to get these people come up and say, your baby is special. Your baby has a purpose on this earth that is greater than anything else. Your baby is going to be something fantastic. So that to get that confirmation was really, really good. So for us as the reader, what are we going to receive from this? You know, I think when I look at these passages, I like to look at the substance of the characters that are being portrayed in this writing, in this word. And apart from the fact that we are reading about Jesus and his beginning, the people that have been waiting, for a long time have a character which is very interesting. We look at their character. We can recognise some character traits and some things that we might be able to gain from it. Of course, it's a pretty special place Simeon was to be given this word that Jesus was going to be there. And he was going to see that. And I went to Presbyterian Uniting Church in Kitchener Road in Melville. I grew up in that church. And our pastor, Reverend Jack Hutchison, he was an ex-missionary from New Hebrides or Vanuatu, it's called. And he was our long-time pastor at Melville. And it wasn't until 18 when I left the church and went abroad and did as I grew up and took on jobs in the country. But I was there till I was about 18 and connected to that church, even longer because I got married in there. But this man, Jack, he was a great man. He was a great servant of God. He was totally led by the Spirit, drive down to the corner, ask the Lord, left or right, Lord, and he'd get this thing, oh, such and such lives down there. I'll go and visit them. So he'd go and visit them and they're having some sort of family crisis and he'd be there to help them. That's how led this guy was. Amazing. But I always remember, the one thing I do remember about him, and I grew up just three houses from him, so I did grow up quite close to the family, but the thing that I remember about him was that he had the very strongest belief that he would see Jesus return, that he would be here when Jesus returned. And that's what drove him. That's what drove him. He thought he was always a matter of urgency to make sure that he got the gospel message out because he believed that Christ would return. And so he would, even when he was deaf, he was deaf because he had some health issue. He couldn't drive. He had people driving. He would still stand up and preach the word because he had this sense of drive that he needed to get the gospel because the Lord is going to return and he was expecting to see him. He didn't make it. He did pass away. But his last words on the deathbed was, one more for Christ, one more for Christ. And his son said, sir, you've done enough. Rest. He said, you've done enough. That's his son. His son's a pastor too, so it runs in the family. So when we look at the character of Simeon, and the characters that we've been showing, we know that he was a righteous and devout person. And Anna was a servant of the Lord and a prayer warrior for the Lord, a life doing this. So we go back to Simeon. Simeon was a righteous and devout person, and our righteousness we know today is through Christ, but Simeon's righteousness was right living according to Scripture. You know, he lived right. He lived so right that he was good with men. Men looked up to him. He had standard in his life. He lived by it. And people were attracted to the fact that he lived life according to what he believed. It's an amazing thing. He was devout. He was totally committed to his belief. And that stands through people. People are devout and committed to their belief. It rings out, doesn't it? You can see when people are committed. It just comes through in the way they live their life. They're the things that Simeon had. When we get to Anna, we get that she's a total servant of the Lord. She's a servant in the temple. She's there day and night. She's doing her service. She loving acts of service in the Lord. And so, you know, she was that portrayed to us by that writer, that she had these attributes. She was a prayer. It tells us she was a prayer, you know. And when we look at prayer, the question I have when I look at prayer is that, and I like prayer, I'm not a great prayer, but I do like prayer. I'm very much passionate that prayer is the front line to everything. You know, if you're going to go anywhere, do anything, achieve anything, see a result, I think the first thing you need is get on your knees and pray, because that is the best weapon we have, isn't it, to fight. So prayer. So Anna was a prayer. And how many women do we know that are prayers? I know quite a few, I've met quite a few elderly women who they can't do much, but they can definitely pray, and they can pray down the house. And we know some great revivals, Scottish revivals, came from old ladies in the middle of the night praying for the change in the community. So prayer. And prayer is one of those things that can be the telling sign to your life. When you have an issue in your life, what's the first thing you're going to do? That's the question. What is the first thing you're going to do? You're going to try and fix it yourself? Is that the first call? You're going to try and fix it? Or is there something, are you going to go to prayer first? Pray about it first before you act. The other one is that Anna was very good fasting. She had this spirit that prayer and fasting which go together. She was, you know, when we fast, we're obviously serious about what we're going to do. We're obviously serious to hear from the Lord. We're serious to get an answer and we want a result, and that's serious when we're praying and fasting. I can't say I'm a great faster. I didn't even make the 40-hour famine when I was at youth group. I went and I got caught getting pizza the night that I was 40. So I got caught out. So I'm not going to say I'm a great faster. But I do believe in prayer. So, you know, we'll get to the stage. I suppose if it gets really serious, I'll have to fast. But if there's a fridge there, I'm no good. I'm sorry. So, you know, Anna's character is a really, really strong one. Ones that we can get. So we can learn from these people. They have all these attributes. And how do we stack up when we look at these people? How do we stack up? How's our righteousness? How's our devoutness? How do we serve the Lord? Do we pray? Are we fasting? Is there something, if we're really wanting answers, are we seeking God on our knees and really, really devoting our time to prayer? You know, how do we serve Him? You know, it's no doubt that God wants us to serve Him. In fact, He's looking for 100% serving, not just on Sundays. He wants us to serve Him 100% of our life. You know, at home, at our work, amongst our families and friends, God requires that we serve Him and be a good representative of Christ. In fact, we know that as His disciples, we are meant to be spreading the gospel. Not when we like it, but be prepared to do it anytime and anywhere. And I remember when Abbott gave us a testimony a couple of months ago, about meeting a man in the shopping centre and sharing the gospel with him. Is that right? Man in the shopping centre? Yep. Sharing the gospel with this man, you know. This is the work we're meant to do. We look for people. God puts them in our path for one reason only, not just to become friends, but actually to share the gospel with them, to live our life according to Him. So, these are the attributes. We're going really well for time, so you'll be pleased about that. You'll be able to cool down even more and just relax. So, as we come to our final, let's see what I've got on this, I can't remember now. Yeah. Okay. So we get to this thing where there's a promise, and the promise given to Simeon, we can reflect on the fact that we've also been given a promise. We've also been given a promise. Simeon was given a promise; he was going to see the Messiah. We have been given a promise that the Messiah is going to return. He's going to return. It's unquestionable. He's going to return, and so. So we keep celebrating this fact because we do communion, and it says in remembrance of me, and it's remembrance of not only the past when he died for our sins, but it's a remembrance until he comes. Until he comes, we do that to keep remembering that he will come. You know, people like Simeon didn't need that remembrance. He had the Holy Spirit that gave him that word that he was going to see it. He just kept on going. We use communion, and hopefully we don't need it because we should realize that He is coming again. That's our remembrance. We're going to remember that all the time. And that's why He put the ceremony in place, so we would remember Him. And so if we know this, how do our lives change? Do we work on the things that Simeon did in his life? Do we become people like Simeon and Anna? Is that what we should be doing? I think it should be, isn't it? I think we should be working on those things. They're the things that we need to be working on. God wants to see it in our lives because the Messiah is going to come, and this time it's Judgment Day. We're going to be judged. He's not coming on this earth to set for the first time. He's coming for the second time, and this is Judgment Day. that he's going to come. So we really need to accept the promise that he's coming, and we need to act accordingly. And our lives need to reflect that. And so from this passage, I hope that we can gain that understanding that Christ is coming. That our lives, to receive a promise like Simeon, to see the fulfillment of Christ come to this earth for the second time, we need to live lives according to Simeon and Anna. We need those attributes in our life. We need to work on it constantly. We need to encourage one another because it's important. We don't do it alone. We do it together as a church, don't we? As a church family. You know, we lift each other up. We got to lift each other in prayer and pray for each other, encourage one another, do Bible studies together. You know, these are the things that we can do to make sure each of us is on fire for God, working for the Lord and growing in our characters. We're all at different levels, so it's a good thing that we are here in a fellowship together and we can do these things. And I know that that when Christ comes, that if we work on those attributes, we're gonna be able to stand before God, before Jesus, and he's going to be able to say to us, good and faithful servant. Wouldn't you like those words? Good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. Simeon received his reward because he got to see the Messiah, got to speak into Mary and Joseph's life, and he received his reward because the promise was he was going to see the Messiah before he died. And his words after that was, now I can die. Now I can die in happiness. He's seen the Messiah, can die. We want to see, when we see the Messiah, we want him to say the words, good and faithful servant. So the question for this morning is, are you longing to see the glory? Are you longing to see the glory? I pray that you are. I pray that you are. Let's just bow our heads and commit this time. Dear Lord, we look at this passage and we again see our Lord Jesus come into this world and in humble circumstances. His parents couldn't even afford the lamb. They could only afford a couple of doves to be able to fulfill the purification rites that Mary needed to do. But we know, dear Lord, that through this passage that you reward those who are waiting for Jesus. And there's a requirement, though, that we must live according to your standards. We should be doing the things you require of us, dear Lord, to live righteous, devout, prayer-filled lives, dear Lord. And we just pray that you will work in our hearts, encourage us daily, dear Lord. Help us to spend the time in your word, spend your time in praying, dear Lord, committing things to you, and encouraging one another, dear Lord, as we grow in you, dear Lord, so that we can see that day when the Lord comes and we can see that day when we can be standing before him and he says, good and faithful servant. So we do thank you that this passage just helps us to see the kind of things that you want to see in our lives through these couple of testimonies. In Jesus' name, amen.